All of those things make up how we spend our time and we spend our energy, and those are the things that comprise our lives from day to day. And if I ask you to describe life, there are lots of adjectives that we could use to describe life. I found some pictures up here. If they want to put that next screen up here. Have you ever heard that life is a journey? From the moment we're conceived until we breathe our last on this planet Earth, that is our earthly journey, our earthly life. But guess what? After that, it's just getting started. We have a heavenly journey that we will go through, an eternal journey. I found several of these. Life is beautiful. How many think life is beautiful? Yeah, life is a beautiful thing. Life is complicated. I've heard that. This is one of my favorite ones. Life is unpredictable, and you never know what is coming next. Don't ever get too comfortable. Always be ready for change. It's been said the only thing that doesn't change is change, because change is always happening to us. And I like this little guy over here. Life is good. I would like to be stretched out on a hammock between two palm trees on the beach. How about you? I'd have to have my 100 sunscreen with me, but hey, they sell that at Walmart, so I can get that and I'd be good. There are lots of adjectives to describe life, and you know, we can use all of these. Life is beautiful, but it is complicated. Life is beautiful, but it is unpredictable. And Treva said up here a little bit, I was going to talk about life being hard. The longer I live, the more I see people go through, the more I go through, the more I watch the evening news, I can tell you life is hard. It is beautiful, but it is hard. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. I found a couple quotes I like. One of them is by Katharine Hepburn. Life is hard. After all, it kills you. It is up there. It kills you. Nobody gets out of this life alive. So I guess you could say life is hard. And for the Western fans in the place, one by John Wayne that says life is hard, it's even harder if you're stupid. I will not argue with that today. Yeah, life can be really hard if you make stupid choices. Even the news media agrees with us. It says MSNBC had an article way back in 2007, and the title of it was Life is Harder Now, Some Experts Say. And that article had to do with financial hardship. It costs more to buy a home. It costs more to raise a family. It costs more to go to college. It costs more for health insurance. Now, this was way back in 2007. So, you know, we're going to add 12 years to that. Life is harder because of financial things that we face and that we go through. But that's just one of the many ways that creates hardship and struggle and pain in people's lives. Relational issues can do that too, with your spouse, with your children, with your friends, with your coworkers. Health issues can create a lot of stress, a lot of struggle in our lives. And on top of that, there's 1,001 things that can come to your mind that a reason that you're having some struggle today, you're having some pain today, this is something that's present in your life today. And you know, none of that should surprise us, because Jesus is the one that told us in John chapter 16 that in the world you will have tribulation. You will have trouble, another version says. He didn't say you might have it. He didn't say there was a good possibility you were going to have it. He said you're going to have it. And so, you know, we're going to have it, and we have to navigate it. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. It's not strange. It's life. It's life. All the trouble, all the struggle, all the pain, all the heartache, all the heartbreak, it's life. And everybody on the face of this earth will experience some of that during their lifetimes. Sometimes it comes hard and it comes fast. It can be overwhelming. It happens because we live in a world of sin and selfishness. And sin and selfishness produces bad fruit. I have a clip up here that tells us some of the things, the bad fruit. But just like righteousness and holiness produce good fruit, sin and selfishness produce bad fruit. And sometimes it's our bad fruit. Sometimes we've made choices. Sometimes we've made decisions. Sometimes we've not listened to wisdom. And we are experiencing down the road, we are experiencing consequences of that. Have you ever, one of these on here, jealousy, outburst of wrath? That's probably King James Version, but outburst of wrath, that's nothing more than anger. Have you ever got mad, just having a fit of madness and said things that you shouldn't said? And then, guess what? That person is now upset and mad at you, and it's someone that you love and care about, and you have to navigate that and try to get past that place where you lost your temper. Sometimes it's our fruit that we're reaping, but sometimes it's not our fruit. Sometimes it's what somebody else did. It's a decision that they made. Have you ever been on the other end of jealousy and selfish ambition and, you know, revelries? That's wild parties. How many people went to a party not knowing what it was going to turn out to be, but in the end, they end up getting drugged, they end up getting raped, they end up getting hurt. They didn't plan that when they went to that party. That wasn't on their plan, even if it might have been a party they shouldn't have been at. But sin and selfishness have bad fruit. And sometimes it's none of that. Sometimes it's a straight out attack against us by the enemy of our souls. You know, sometimes it's not something that you did, and it's not something that somebody else did. It comes from the one that seeks to kill and to steal and to destroy. It's his fruit. And that happens because we live on a planet that is in the middle, it's a battleground of good and evil. We forget that. We forget that on this side is the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all the heavenly angels that are sent to encamp round about us and to lead us and to guide us and to protect us. Over on this side, you have his arch enemy, the devil, and the third of the angels that went with him. And their purpose, their only purpose, is to mess us up and to keep us out of God's will, to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us. And in the middle, we sit. One time, a number of years ago, we were going through a particularly hard time, and Jeff made the comment, I feel like I'm just like on a chessboard. I'm just a piece on the chessboard. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, yeah, but what hand's going to move you? What hand's going to move you? Because that is we sit in the middle with the ability to make our own choices and to feel and to choose. Am I going to serve God or am I not going to choose God? You know, we have our own fleshly desires and our own things that we deal with because we're not perfect beings. And the works of the flesh, that's what that talks about up there. Those things live in the hearts of men when the hearts of men are not pursuing the heart of God. Because when we do pursue the heart of God on a consistent basis, not that we're going to not mess up. We are going to mess up from time to time. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's what God does in our lives and the Holy Spirit does in our lives. But we're caught in the middle. And we live in a world ever since the fall of a man, which was way back in the creation, that entered the world and it created changed everything. Because back then it was perfect. There was no sin. There was no selfishness. And when we get to heaven, that will be perfect. But in the meantime, we got this to deal with. And sometimes we get mad at God over it. Jeff this morning was talking about timing. Timing in the chaos was the message that he brought this morning in Sunday school. And sometimes we don't like God's timing. Sometimes we think God has forgotten us. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to someone that I love? God, if you were really in control, why would I have to be facing this? Because I'm seeking you. I love you. I'm trying to make good decisions. And we get mad and we blame God with our mouths. We may stop coming to church because I don't want to hear what that preacher says because I already been trusting God and he didn't come through for me. Jeff made that comment this morning. I have a couple friends. One of them is a pastor's wife, actually both of them are pastor's wives, godly women, and one of them just got diagnosed with non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. She never drank a day in her life. And the other one had severe lung issues, never smoked a day in her life, had a music ministry, had to stop singing because she couldn't get enough air and breath to sing. I'm telling you right now, that's not fair. It's not fair. And you may be suffering from things this morning. Things may be in your life, and you may be having to deal with somebody else's mess or an attack from the enemy, and it's not fair. I'm not going to tell you it's fair, because it's not fair. But this world is not fair. And everybody will have to experience at some point in time struggles and troubles and pain and sorrow and heartache and heartbreak, because that's what Jesus said we would do. But let's take a look at that verse in a little more depth. John 16:33. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus sandwiched that statement, "In the world you will have tribulation," between two very powerful precepts that we need to remember. He told the disciples, "Now, I'm fixing to tell you something, but before I tell you that," someone said, "You want the good news or the bad news first, right?" The good news is you can have peace. You can have peace. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but you can have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So he's basically saying, you're going to have peace, and you're going to make it because I have overcome the world. But while you're in the world, you're going to have some trouble. You're going to have some struggle. You're going to have some heartache and heartbreak. It's also significant for us to understand that that chapter came right after John chapter 15, which is the teaching about the vine and the branches. So in that chapter, Jesus is saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you will stay hooked into me, I will give you everything that you need. You need peace? I'm giving you peace. You need strength? I'm giving you strength. Everything you need. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you're not going to make it. But if you stay hooked into me, you are going to make it." So the way I look at it is this. We have two choices. We can go through the hardship, the struggle, the trouble, the pain, the suffering, the whatever. We can go through it without God. We can go through it on our own. We can go through it trying to navigate it ourselves and see how we do. Or we can go through it with God. And when we go through it with God and we stay hooked into the vine and we receive everything that we need, all of those things happening to us becomes a school of faith. So consider yourself in school as of this morning, and you've been in school long before you got here. Everybody here knows what school is. We've all been in school at some level. When you go to school, you're there to do what? To listen to the teacher. To obey the teacher. My sister said to learn. There's something there for us to learn. Something there to take us to the next level of where we are. And to be real honest, there's formal education and then there's the education of life. And they all teach us something. It's usually not easy. Now, you have some good guitar players up here, and if they decided they wanted to get a music ministry or a music degree at Murray State University, you know, they might take that very first course going in and you know, they do pretty well because they already know how to play. But I guarantee you there's something in that course meant to stretch them, meant to give them a deeper understanding of the guitar, meant to teach them some different chords and how to make some different sounds come out of that instrument. It's going to take them to the next level. That is its intention, is to teach them something that they didn't already know. And the school of faith is the same way. It is designed, every situation that we go through, every circumstance, is designed to help us, to teach us. Let me back up and say something that I didn't say because I wanted to say this and I don't want to get out of today and not say it. Let me say this. God does not create ways to hurt you. He does not sit around and plan how to make your life hard. He does not create your struggle. He does not create your heartbreak or your heartache. He does not create those things, because everything through the Bible, and I don't have my Bible up here because I keep my Bible on my phone, But I was afraid someone would text me or call me and it would get me off today. So it's in my purse. I have my scriptures written, so don't you worry. I know I'm good about scripture. But God does not do those things because everything through the Bible tells us He is good. He is good. He is merciful. He is kind. He is compassionate. He is faithful. He doesn't cause those things. If I do something that causes me to have to suffer, God didn't do that. I did that. But I can call on Him for mercy, and I can call on Him for grace. And guess what? He's going to hear me because His ear is not close to my cry, nor is His arm too short that He cannot answer me. Now, I may have some hardship to walk through because I should not have done that. But God does not create that. And so I really don't have a right to be mad at God. But what I'm walking through, whatever it is, there is something that I can learn from that. I might not like the subject matter, but sometimes we don't have a choice about what we, you know, we don't get to pick what lessons that we're going to go through. I have a degree from Murray State University. It's in medical technology. That's everything hospital laboratory. That's what my degree's in. I have a lot of chemistry in that degree. I have a lot of biology. I have a good amount of math. And I have 10 hours of physics. I wish I could have told you that I loved physics and that I was looking forward to those classes. I wasn't. And when I took the first class, I thought, oh, poke me in the eye. I have got to take another one. God. I did not. 10 hours. I didn't need no 10 hours worth of physics. Gosh. But you know what? I have a choice. It was in that thing called a curriculum or whatever that you've got to take to get this degree. And I could have said, I'm not taking it. I'm sorry. No, no, and no thank you. But you know what? If I had not have taken that, I would not have gotten that degree. I would not have gotten the degree. Nor would I have understood or realized the benefits that having that degree would make in my life. That's a good field. And that field pays you really well. And that's what I worked in before I started to work for Jeff. I wouldn't have gotten that degree. I wouldn't have realized the financial benefit that job would have brought me without taking those classes. And the School of Faith is pretty much the same way. We don't get to choose what lessons God is teaching us. Because let's just be really honest. Most of us have a higher opinion of ourselves than what we really... Oh, I don't need no lessons in faith. Oh, I've got faith that moves mountains. Hallelujah. You know, I've got the patience of Job. Don't ever say that. Oh, don't ever say that. Most of the time, we don't know what lessons God wants to teach us or where He's trying. We certainly don't know what's ahead in our future. In the future, I might need a big dose of joy. This is where it's happening right here. And God is using every situation and every circumstance to teach me and to train me and to change me into the character of Christ. And I don't, quite frankly, know what's lacking in myself. Sometimes I'm a little further ahead than what I think I am until I hit the brick wall. You know what I mean? And that's when I realize, oh, I ain't got this mastered. I don't have this mastered. But there are benefits. There are benefits to those lessons. There are benefits to learning what God is telling me and to submit myself to it, no matter what it is. Is it fair? It might not be fair. But in the middle of it, if I say, Lord, this does not feel good. I didn't deserve this. This is making a mess of me emotionally. But Lord, get everything out of it you can get in my life because I don't want to walk this way again. Help me learn this, Lord, this time because I don't want to walk this way again. See, that was a problem the children of Israel had. They griped and they complained and they didn't learn. And they spent a long time in that wilderness. I don't want to go there. Yeah, I don't need pain to learn. I'm going to get some of it, but I don't want it. Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5 says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. I'm going to say that again. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all those oppressed. So if you're finding yourself on the tail end of somebody else's bad fruit or on an attack of the enemy, guess what? God is going to work it as righteousness in your life and to bless you over it. It will turn out right if you keep your hand in His hand. And if you submit to the lesson, and if you let Him teach you in this school of faith what it is, if you allow Him to make the changes in your life that can be made during that time. He didn't cause it, but He redeems every situation. He may not cause it, but He will redeem it in your life, and He will turn it around for good. We either believe all of God's Word or we believe none of God's Word. And His Word is not even in my notes. Romans 8:28, you know it well. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. All things. Heard a message preached one time and the preacher said, those all things, those are the bad things. Because nobody ever uses that scripture when they're talking about good things. It's all things. It's the bad things. It's the hard things. In the school of faith, you're going to have some lessons you're not going to like. Lessons on how to hear the voice of God, how to be obedient to the voice of God, how to step out in faith and trust God, and how to wait on God. How do we learn any of that stuff? How do we learn it? How do we learn to hear the voice of God? By hearing it. When Samuel, in 1 Samuel, was a little boy, God was starting to talk with him. He was laying down on his mat, and the Lord said, Samuel. And he gets up and runs to the priest Eli. Here I am, Lord, you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you, go back and lay down. So Samuel goes back and lays down. 3 times that happened because Samuel did not yet know the voice of the Lord. But finally Eli caught on and he said, oh, the next time he calls you, because there will be a next time that God will speak to your heart. There will be a next time. You say, here I am, Lord, your servant is listening. And from that point on, Samuel knew the voice of the Lord. Let me tell you something. 35 plus years ago, I don't really know how many more years, and I'm not going to say that because it makes us look old, Treva Lee. That many years ago, I did not know Treva Kelleher's voice because I didn't know Treva Kelleher very well. But I call her Treva Lee. That's not her real name, but that's what I call her. When she calls me on the phone now, she don't have to say, hey, Vic, this is Treva Kelleher. I know her voice. I know her voice. I know his voice. But I only learned that by listening to their voice, by hearing their voices. And that's the only way you learn the voice of God. The only way you learn to be obedient to God is hearing his voice and doing what he says and seeing the good that comes from that. Or hearing his voice, not doing what he says, and getting the ramifications of that. And if that discipline is strong enough, guess what? In your heart, you're probably going to be, oh, that's not worth it, and I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to listen to the voice of the Lord. That's how you learn that. How do you learn to wait on God? By waiting on God. By waiting. I found a good quote. I put it up here because when I heard it, it made an impact on me, and it is still making an impact on me. One of my daughter's friends was teaching her 5-year-old niece about what patience was, and Elena had chicken nuggets that she wanted to eat, and Abby was not getting her home fast enough to eat her chicken nuggets. That's what spurred this conversation. And Elena wanted to know what patience was anyway, and this is what Abby said. It's when you wait and wait and wait, but still stay happy and don't complain. And I read that. I said, oh, Lord. That is simple enough for a 5-year-old to understand. And it is difficult enough that a 50-pluser cannot walk it out every day consistently. Because we're going to have to wait. There are lessons on patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We're going to have some lessons on that. So the waiting is going to come, and sometimes you feel like you wait and 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 you wait, but you still stay happy. I don't know about you, but I'm not always happy in my wait. And if I'm not careful, I'm complaining about the waiting. But that's not real patience. So when I am not happy and when I am complaining, guess what I'm going to get in the future? Another lesson on patience, because I did not pass the test the last time I had that test. I wish I could just learn it all at the beginning and not have to repeat some of those lessons. But you know, thankfully we have a good teacher. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And I don't know about you, but when you were in school, you might have had some teachers that weren't so good. My mother tells a story of a lady by the name of Miss Lewis. My mother had her when she was in second grade. She was still teaching when I came along, but I didn't have her, thank the Lord, because my mother would say that Miss Lewis would throw books at students. She would throw erasers and chalk at the students. She would smack you over the back of the hand with a ruler, and if you got very close to her, she'd pull your hair. Now, it is fair to say that my mother was probably not the ideal student because she was extremely strong-willed herself, but she always left that part of the story out. You know, the bottom line is, when it comes to the school of faith, God is not like Miss Lewis. He's not like Miss Lewis. He is kind. He is compassionate. The Holy Spirit, every day, the Bible says He's our teacher. Now, He's insistent. He knows what you need to learn. He knows what's coming ahead. He knows how to conform us into the image of Christ. And He's insistent. He's not going to let you skip school. Okay? He's not going to let you, get out of taking the test. The situations are coming. They're coming. But He cares if you make it. And He will give you everything. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says He gives us all we need to live a godly life and to be victorious. The truth of the matter is, we learn some of our most valuable lessons through the hardships and the pain that we suffer. For whatever reasons, humans don't always learn the maximum lessons when we're on easy street. You know, over and over through the Israelites, they would be under persecution. The other countries would be raiding their fields and so on and so forth. They would cry out to God. God would come and deliver them. They were all about serving God. Then praise the Lord, God has rescued us. But when the war was over and things were easy and they had enough food and they had plenty, over and over and over in the Old Testament, you find them getting away from God and beginning to serve the Baals and beginning to serve the Ashtaroths. They did that over and over again. Then things would get hard for them again because the enemy was looking to kill them and to steal them and to destroy them anyway. So here would come the raiders. Here would come the Amalekites and the Hittites and every other ite that lived in the land. And they would become under persecution. And then they would return to God. And so, for whatever reason, it is under that type of situation that we tend to learn are some of our most valuable lessons. God used lots of different situations in the Bible to test people and to teach people. Abraham and Isaac. God tells Abraham he's going to be the father of many nations. And when Abraham's own body was dead, God gave him an heir of promise, Isaac. And then God turns around and says, I want you to go and offer Isaac to me. Well, now, God, this doesn't make much sense. Because without him, I'm not going to be a father of many nations. So what are you talking about? You know, Abraham had to have some thoughts and some conversations with God about that. You know, he's lifted up as the father of faith, but he didn't get there overnight. But in the end, he passed the test. Because he chose God, the Bible says, that he was convinced that even if he sacrificed Isaac, God would raise Isaac from the dead. So let me tell you, if there's anything in this life that you are trusting more than God, you can expect a test in that area. Whether it's another person, whether it's a job, whether it's your bank account, there's going to be a test because God's not going to let that go without some learning. He is the only one that will never leave us or forsake us or fail us. So we've got to know that. And so when those situations come, You know, you need to look at it in the face, put it on a card, and put it on your bathroom mirror and on your refrigerator. You know, God is faithful. He is, I will trust Him. I will trust Him. The disciples on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus sent them out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus goes down in the bottom of the boat to go to sleep, and here comes this big storm. Do you think Jesus didn't know there was a storm coming? He knew. So why was He downstairs sleeping? Because they're freaking out. They are convinced that they're about to die. Somebody goes down and wakes Jesus up. Do you not care if we perish? Jesus comes upstairs, says, peace be still. And it was over. And probably left them all going. Why do you think Jesus did that? Maybe to teach them that they could trust Him whether they could see Him or not. Because He was fixing to go away. He was fixing to be crucified on the cross of Calvary and be raised from the dead and ascend to heaven. They weren't going to be walking with Him in the same way that they had after that. They had to learn. They had to get it that He was not going to leave them. He was there, and that they needed to be learning to do what Jesus, you know, that bracelet, what would Jesus do? That's really good for us to live by. That's not just a cool bracelet. What would Jesus do? Because that's what He expects us to do. We are His hands. We are His feet. And He was using everyday situations to teach them, this is what you do. This is what. Now, can you speak to a storm and have it stopped? Oh, I think we can. I think we can, because I have stood in my house before and said, oh, no, you will not come here. Now, is it just me doing it? No, probably a whole lot of other people in Cape Girardeau. But I tell you one thing, when the tornadoes come down through Cape, they hit Jackson and they go right around Cape Girardeau. I live in a really good town. Either that or there's a lot of praying people in Cape Girardeau. We don't hardly ever get a tornado. Praise the Lord. But we are to learn what Jesus would do. That is expected. And there'll be lessons on us having to do that. I'm going to, for time, well, no, I'm not. I am going to do this. Isaiah 48:10, there's a verse that says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. And Zechariah 13:9 says, this third I will put through the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold, and they will call on my name. I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. These two verses talk about a refining process. In that refining process, whatever it is, many situations, many circumstances that we go through, God is looking to refine us and to transform us and to change us into His character. That's the purpose of it all. He doesn't cause it, but He will redeem it. He will use it. I think, not casting crowns. There's a verse that is talking about the healer, but it says, Lord, don't let this go. You know, don't let this go unused. Use this in my life. God will use it. Romans 5:3-5 says, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. Well, we might not know. We don't like it, but all right, Lord, that's what your word says. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character and helps us trust God more each time we use it. Each time we use patience, it helps us to trust God more. Until finally, our hope and faith are strong and steady, and when that happens, we are able to hold our heads high no matter what happens and know that all is well. For we know how dearly God loves us. Are we learning something? Yeah. Are we having to be stretched? Yeah. Is it painful? Yeah. But one of the lessons is how much He loves us. Because in that verse in Zechariah, when we are under distress, guess what? We call out on the Lord a whole lot more than when we're on easy street. You know, it just takes a little bit of pain usually to drive us to a place of prayer. And when we pray and when we seek the Lord, He says, I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. Those things that we go through confirm that we are His and that He is ours. Did you hear that? It confirms that you belong to God. And let me tell you something. When you're going through something and you don't have any peace, and it's like your mind and your heart is being assaulted, and you pray for peace, and the peace of God comes over you, He has just revealed Himself to you as Jehovah Shalom. When you have sickness in your body, whether the doctors can do something about it or not, maybe you don't want to go to the doctor, and you begin to cry out to the Lord for healing, and He touches your body, He has just revealed Himself to you as Jehovah Rapha. When things are crazy all around you, and you don't even know where to turn, and you call on the name of the Lord, and you just feel that presence of God, that is Jehovah Shema. That is the ever-present God. The ever-present God. And you would never have had an opportunity to experience Jehovah Shema without His presence coming into your life as a result of you calling out on Him. You would never have had an opportunity to experience Jehovah Shalom unless you were first in a place without peace, and then you call on the Lord. Nobody can ever, ever, ever tell you that He is not real. When I was 18 years old, my grandmother raised me, and I was 18 years old. I was at Murray State University. This is not part of my notes, so somebody needs to hear this. She was my life. She is the reason that I serve the Lord today. Can't I ever talk without crying? So here, just wipe this and just take care of that now. My mother had me, and she was not in a place that she could raise a child. She was not in a mindset that she could raise a child. My grandmother took me. She raised me. And when I was a sophomore at Murray State, so I just turned 19, I got a call from my mother, who never called me. Back then we had landlines. She said, "Do you want to come home?" It was a week before finals. I said, "No, what's going on?" She said, "Well, Granny has had a stroke, and they don't think she's going to make it." So I had good grades. All my professors told me to go. So I went and prayed in the spirit all the way from Murray State University until I got to Reeves Boom Land in Charleston, if you guys know where that was. I don't even know how I got from point A to point B. All I remember seeing on the way to Saxon Hospital was Reeves Boom Land, the lights of Reeves Boom Land. And I thought I was going to die. At the weight and the pressure of that. She was my life. That's where I lived. That was my whole life. I get in there to the hospital room, and I didn't have any other Christians in my family, so they weren't talking faith, and the doctors would come in, and no, she was going to die. She was a vegetable. She didn't hear anything. She didn't understand anything, and I felt like the life was being sucked out of me. Oh, and I thought, I got to get out of here. I have got to get out of here. And I went to my mom's house, and I was sitting on the bed in the bedroom that I slept in when I was there. And I had this big study Bible that's still my Bible. And I had it sitting on my lap. How many know that when you're overwhelmed, a Bible that's that thick is really overwhelming? I didn't even know where to look. I didn't even know what verse to turn to. I was so much in grief and so much in overwhelmedness. And I sat there and I said, "Lord, if you don't give me something, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown if you don't give me something." There's great advantage to reading your Bible every day. There's great advantage into highlighting in yellow those things that jump out to you and speak to you. Because on that day, I opened my Bible to John 14:26. And that verse says, "Peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." My eyes went right to what I had marked in yellow. It was right there. What are the chances I'm going to open the Bible and it's going to fall right there? That's a God chance is what that is. And when I read that verse, the presence of the Holy Spirit started at the top of my head and went to the bottom of my feet and wrapped me in nothing more than what I can explain as a warm blanket. And I laid there in the arms of Jesus for I don't know how long, and I cried, because guess what? He got me that day. He got me. He caught me. And He will catch you. He will catch you that day. He revealed himself to me as Jehovah Shalom. And he juiced me back up to where I needed to be. I called on some Christian friends. I'm like, y'all going to have to minister to me because I cannot go back to that hospital without something to take. And I actually, at the age of 19, told two of her doctors, if that's all that you have to say, you need to say it outside this room because she will live. And I would read scripture to her every day. I read scripture to her. And on Christmas Eve, she regained consciousness. And she lived about another, I don't know, about another 10 years after that. Now, life was different because she wasn't able to go home at that point. Because she did have some paralysis on one side of her body. But that day, God caught us. And you can't tell me that God is not the God of peace. Because I have experienced it. You can't tell me that God is not the God of healing because I have experienced it. But it's in those places when I'm sick that I know now I can call on the God of healing. So it's through this hardship and difficulty of life that we call on Him that He reveals to us who He is in a way that we may never have been able to experience before. It's called the school of faith. But it's not just the difficult times that God tests us in, if you will. He tested the children of Israel when He gave them manna. Now, that was a blessing. That was their food. They had to have that. But God said, I will do this to test them to see if they will be obedient to me. So He's given them a blessing, and He's going to test them to see if they will be obedient. And He told them, you pick up enough for one day. Every day, don't pick up enough for 2 days, except the days before the Sabbath. And on that day, pick up 2 days' worth, because there won't be any the next day. Well, got people over here. Now, God said, just pick up 1 day's worth. But who knows if He's going to come through for us tomorrow. There might not be any food tomorrow, so we better just get it while the getting's good. They picked up 2 days' worth. But the Bible says in the morning, it stunk and it had maggots in it. It was no good to them. They didn't trust the Lord enough to obey what He said. And the people that were just taking God for granted, oh, He's good, hallelujah, there'll be food here tomorrow. Well, their bellies went hungry the next day because there wasn't any food the next day. So it's in our blessings that He tests us too. He expects us to be obedient even in those times. And I put this on the screen about the blessings, if you want to put that up here. Because I trust there are a number of people in here today that are in good seasons in your life. That God has been good to you and you are living not during a time of pain and turmoil, but you're living in some good season right now. And if you are, this is what you do. Praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for it. Recognizing that everything you have comes from God. All the blessings come from God. Understanding that first screen, we said life is unpredictable. Chances are, if you're in a really good place right now, there's going to be some hardship down the road. That's just how this life works. But right now, we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to give Him glory. We're going to give Him thanks. We're going to enjoy every minute of it. Enjoy it. Because that's why God gives it to you. So you'll be thankful and so you'll enjoy it and spread it around. Don't keep it to yourself. If it's a financial blessing, make sure you tithe on it. Praise the Lord. And the pastor's wife says, yes, amen. No, do some things that you would not normally be able to do. You know, there are lots of benevolent needs in your community and in other people's lives. And above all, tell somebody about it. Because you're in a good place. But I would wager that there have been times in your past that have been very difficult. And somebody else is probably walking through some hard times. And they need to hear the testimony from you that said, God is faithful. God is faithful. I know where you've been. I have been there too. But God is faithful. So keep your hand in His hand and let Him walk you out of this. Submit yourself to whatever He can teach you during this time. This might not be your fault. I'm not saying it's your fault. But it's here. This is the opportunity for training here. And I'm telling you, God is faithful. Somebody needs to hear it. Let's be faithful. Hey, y'all just can be a mouthpiece just like I am. Just be a mouthpiece. And tell the good things that God has done for you. I want to say one other thing before we get to the close, and that is that God is not the only one doing the testing. Satan tests us and will try to test us every day. His purposes are completely different from God's. God's purpose for testing will be to refine us and to build His character in us. The devil's purpose for testing is to kill and to steal and to destroy every word that God has ever given you, every hope that He's ever spoken into your heart. Way back in the Garden of Eden, came to Eve. Did God really say that if you ate that or not to eat that? No, God knows that if you eat that, you're going to be like God. He's had eons of time to twist the Word of God, and He has had countless millions of people that He has practiced on. Okay? He's doing the testing. Sometimes we pass the test and sometimes we don't. Sometimes the children of Israel passed, sometimes they didn't. Before long, they would be serving the Baals and the Ashtaroths again. And then He got to Job. Do you know he petitioned God? Just let me have him. Let me at him, and he will curse you to your face. I said, God, I don't want to be a Job. I don't want to be a Job, Lord. Don't hand me over to him. But evidently, God knew the character of Job. And when it got to be the toughest, when it got to be the hardest, do you remember what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. May that be the words on our lips when the fire is turned up the hottest, when the affliction is the worst. Can God get you out of it just like that? Yeah, He can. And sometimes we get mad at Him because He hasn't. But He is perfecting a work in us. There's a purpose for it, whether we like it or not, but we can fight against the goads, and it's harder. So sometimes it's better just to be still. Lord, open my heart, open my mind, open my understanding. Show me what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to learn here. I don't understand it. Do you know it's okay to ask God why? It's okay to ask God why. Now, I wouldn't recommend doing it this way. Why? What is wrong with you up there? No, I wouldn't do that. That is not the right way. It's not the right way. But it is okay from a broken heart and a broken spirit to go before the Lord and say, Lord, why? I don't understand this. In one of Treva's songs this morning, it showed a baby in the lap of a mother or wherever, in a rocking chair. Do you know God wants to just hold you sometimes? He just wants to hold you sometimes. Crawl up in His arms and say, Father, Abba, I don't understand this. Why, God? And even if He doesn't answer you, He will still comfort you. It's a really safe place to be. It's a really safe place to be. So He tested Job, and Job passed. And He tested Jesus in the wilderness. He said, I know you're hungry. You've been fasting for 40 days. You can make those stones of bread. Or here, I'm going to show you all of this, and you can have it if you'll just worship me. Jesus defeated him the same way we will, with the Word of God. To recognize that that is not the voice of God, because you know, we're sheep. We are sheep. The Bible says that we are sheep and we can hear the voice of the shepherd. So we know if it's not the shepherd talking to us, and if it's not, as a sheep, we better run. I don't know where my shepherd is, but I got to find him right now, because that is not the voice of the shepherd. The goal is to pass the test. The goal is never to have to repeat that test again. However, He's always taking us from one level to the next, from glory to glory, until the day that He comes. And every situation, good or bad, is a school of faith for us. But this is why I came here today. To look you in the face and to tell you, somebody in here, maybe Jeff said it'll be more than one, you're going to make it. Did you hear me? You are going to make it. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Not one. Not one. You are not alone. You may feel lonely in this, that nobody else has ever experienced this, or nobody, I can't talk to anybody about it. But let me tell you, and sometimes there are things you go through that you can't really talk, because we have to be careful not to poison somebody else's mind with our thoughts and opinions, because our thoughts and opinions may be quite one-sided, because they have to do with me, and after all, I'm the most important, you know? So I'm going to talk to you, and I'm just going to give you my side of it, because that's my reality. So sometimes it's better not for me to talk to you, but I can always talk to Jesus, and I can always crawl up in His lap and have myself a good cry party and let Him comfort me, and I promise you I will be better when I get down off His lap. You are not alone. You will never walk alone. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, they wouldn't bow to Nebuchadnezzar. They had their hands bound and their feet bound, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. It doesn't get much hotter than that. But along comes King Nebuchadnezzar, and he looks down there. Didn't we throw three down there? Didn't we throw three down there all bound up? Well, there's four down there now, and they are walking around. The Bible tells us that the smoke, we won't even smell like smoke. The water may overflow us, but it's not going to drown us. So, only other thing I have to say to you is keep your hand in the Lord's. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't be looking at the problem. Don't let your problem come bigger than your God. Because it can be. If all I ever look at is the complicatedness of this, the mess of that, I don't know what to do with that, I can't change that, that can become completely overwhelming, and I am looking at my hopelessness. God is still a waymaker. God is still the God that moves mountains. He hasn't changed. So I need to get my focus off of that, and I need to get my focus to here, and I need to say with my mouth, I don't know what to do. I don't know anything else to do. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to remember your word. I'm going to hold on to you, and you're going to have to deal with that, because I don't know what to do with it. If He tells me something to do with it, then I'll do with it. Otherwise, sometimes all we can do is stay grounded in our faith and stay at the feet of Jesus. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Philippians 1:6 says that He will finish what He has started in your life. He will. He will. He will. Bow your heads for me this morning. You know, you may be here this morning and you've had an awful lot going on in your life, and you've forgotten that you don't have to walk alone. So maybe you're trying to navigate it all on your own. You may not even be in a right relationship with Jesus, because all of this stuff has put you in a place where you don't really know that you can trust Him. And if that's your situation this morning, I'd like to pray for you. If that's you this morning, will you raise your hands? If you want the Lord to walk with you through this and to help navigate you through this, you want the peace of the Lord? I see that hand. I see those hands. I see that hand this morning. This is called life. And everybody in here is going to experience it. Like I said before, sometimes it comes fast, it comes hard, and we're completely overwhelmed. And it can knock us off our feet, and it can knock us out of our place of faith. So, Father, this morning, I lift my brothers and sisters to You, Lord, that find themselves in a hard situation, that find themselves shaken in their faith. Oh, God, they are in a perfect place for You to reveal to them who You are. So I'm asking that You reveal Yourself in whatever area that they need. Whether it's provision, whether it's healing, God, whether it's peace, Father, whether it is just an overwhelming sense of Your presence. But Lord, in this, I ask that You teach them what they need to learn. Let them pass the test, oh God. Let them cleave to You and be even like Job, that says, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him, because We remember that Job was blessed 10 times more after the whole thing than he was before. So Lord, I ask today that you would be with them, comfort them, let them feel your presence. God, give them wisdom and discernment, God, of anything they need to do. But I pray this would draw them closer than they have ever been to you. And I think there are probably people here today that you recognize as I've been speaking and preaching, that the Holy Spirit has been massaging your heart, because you know that's what He does. I can speak up here all day long and I can't say in an hour and a half what the Holy Spirit can do in your life in 30 seconds. But He will use the words that I speak, and He will speak life to you. So I just want to pray for you that you would feel in every situation that you're in, whether it is easy, whether it's difficult, that you will feel the presence of God, that you will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If you're in a good season, praise the Lord. I rejoice with you today. But usually we get concentrated on the difficult decisions because those are the ones that cause us pain. So Holy Spirit, as we come to the close of our day, we know that you use every situation, every life situation, to teach us and to grow us and to stretch us. We will have lessons on obeying your voice. We will have lessons on stepping out in faith. We will have lessons on waiting for you, because you are trying to develop all of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and that's the only way that we learn. Give us tender hearts. Give us tender hearts, oh God, that we will allow you the chance to do your work in the midst of the messiest situations, that we will see you as the waymaker that you are. We will see you as the mountain mover that you are. We will know you as the Abba Father that we can climb up into your lap and be comforted when no one else can comfort us. I pray that you would bless my brothers and my sisters today, God. Because one thing is for sure, we are going to graduate one of these days. And we will hear the words, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As always, Jeff and I will be up here at the front. If there's something going on in your life that you want individual prayer for, it is a privilege for us to pray with you. It's a privilege for us to be here today. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord.